how African-American women have been writing their stories, their history, and the world they see around them for longer than they've been free in this country. But their works don't always get the recognition as part of the history of American literature. A new list called the Zora Canon includes 100 of the greatest works by African-American women going back to 1859. Morgan Jerkins is the senior editor at Zora, Medium's online space for women of color, and a visiting assistant professor at Columbia University School of the Arts. She's the author of This Will Be My Undoing, Living at the Intersection of Black, Female, and Feminist in White America. Her second book, Wandering in Strange Lands, A Daughter of the Great Migration, Reclaims Her Roots, is due out this year. Morgan led the team who put this list together. Morgan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Sandra Adell is the F.U. Bascom Professor in the Department of Afro-American Studies at UW-Madison. She's the author of several books, including a memoir titled Confessions of a Slot Machine Queen and editor of the anthology Contemporary Plays by African-American Women, 10 Complete Plays. Sandra, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, this list, the Zora Canon and Medium's Magazine, are named for Zora Neale Hurston. So that's a great place to start. Morgan, can you talk a little bit about the importance of Zora Neale Hurston and why you're using her name and why she features so prominently in this list of 100 books?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. I mean, Zora Neale Hurston was just a multi-hyphenate type of artist. I mean, she did ethnography, anthropology. She wrote short stories. She documented folklore for people of the South. And she encompassed so many different things. And what I'm so thankful about is that Zora Neale Hurston has such a vibrant afterlife. You know, she was rediscovered for her works back in the 1970s by Alice Walker, and she had an unmarked grave at the time. And so it's wonderful to be in this sort of cultural moment where there are many Black women, including myself, who are existing in this space where we can give honor to those like her who came before us, thus Zora Magazine.
And Sandra, let's talk about the importance of doing a project like this. There have been all these African-American women authors. Can you talk about the importance of making sure we remember them and keep coming back to their work?
Well, first of all, Morgan, thank you so much for you and your team to put this together. And for your book, This Will Be My Undoing, I enjoyed reading your essays. This is very important because, let me say that those of us who are scholars have been compiling lists and bibliographies for a long time, but they're in scholarly books and journals. This is a compilation, and it's very comprehensive. And the important thing for me and for those of us who are still looking for more works to add to our ongoing canon is that it's online. And so I think that after looking at what they've done here, I think what's very important is that people who are not African-Americanist can't keep saying they can't find work by Black, women authors, because here it is at their fingertips. And so I just see a great potential for this. And I'm happy that it's getting the attention that has gotten over the last couple of days or couple of weeks.
And Morgan, the author Caitlin Greenidge wrote an intro for this list. She mentioned a Toni Morrison quote where Morrison talks about African-American women being read for sociology or moral reason, the idea that this is the broccoli of our reading. This list is not just about important historical documents. These are good reads too, right?
Yes. Yes, of course. I think, you know, what we wanted to do for this particular type of project is that we wanted to show people that Black women can write about a range of things. They wrote about their ancestors. They wrote about activism. They also wrote about sex. And they also wrote about intergenerational trauma. And so, I mean, I want to argue that Black women's writings, the meat, the potatoes, the broccoli, the dessert, you know what I'm saying? And so I agree. It's like it's so comprehensive and no one has an excuse anymore.
Yeah. And the other important thing is that it's fiction, nonfiction, as she mentioned, poetry and other documents. And that's another aspect of its comprehensiveness. So it's crossing, for those of us who work in African American studies, we are interdisciplinary. So for us, this is going to be useful in all of our different areas, in sociology, literature, the arts, and history.
Morgan, can you talk about the process that went into selecting this diverse group of works from just 100 works? It might have been tough to narrow it down.
Absolutely. I mean, I will say it didn't just come from the team. We had to have a village of people. So when I was given this responsibility to start this special package, I reached out to other women whose works I have admired for years. And I asked them, you know, can you tell me about the 20 books that really meant something to you? 20 books by African-American authors. And magically, they were able to fill in many gaps. For example, you know, usually when you see lists of books to read by authors in general, there may be a deficit in poetry. Mm-hmm. There may be a deficit in anthologies. And we didn't have that with this list. I mean, we had sociologist Dr. Tressie McMillan-Codum, who provided so many scholarly works. Then we had Professor Imani Perry, also brought in the plays and all of these different type of collections. And then you had like Jesmyne Ward, Malaika Adaro, Margot Jefferson, and Ayanna Mathis, bringing all this fiction and nonfiction. And we had the Zora team, when we looked at the list, we narrowed it down by, because there was a lot of overlaps. Of course, you're going to have overlaps with, of course, like the Toni Morrisons, the Alice Walkers, on the Zora Neale Hurstons, of course. And we made sure that there weren't any overlaps in that way with, you know, one person nominating the same book over and over. But also we wanted to make sure in terms of the decades that there were full in each decade. So we might have suggested a book in the 1920s. We might have suggested a book in the 1960s and 70s in tandem with the civil rights movement. And that's pretty much how we did it.
Talking to Morgan Jerkins, senior editor at Zora, and Sandra Adele from UW-Madison. We're looking at a new list from Zora, the top 100, the 100 great works by African-American authors, African-American women authors in the United States. I want to start naming names. We're not going to get to all 100 books. Sandra, I want to get your response. What are some that struck you from this list that you were excited to see there?
Well, just about everything that I like. What struck me were the things that I have not read. And that's very important. Also, they have another list. What is it called, Morgan? 10 writers, women writers that you...
Yes, black women writers to watch. Yep.
10 black women writers to watch. Yeah. And that's important to me because, you know, I teach regularly. I'm a literature professor. I mm-hmm. teach literature regularly. And I find myself stopping at Toni Morrison. And it's like, okay, there is a post-Toni Morrison life, you know, and world. And so, for example, Jesmyne Ward is somebody some of my other younger colleagues have said, you need to read this. So there are things, and poetry. Morgan Jenkins has a collection of poems, right? Morgan title?
Oh, Morgan Parker. Morgan Parker.
Oh, no, Morgan Parker. I'm sorry. Morgan Parker. I got you mixed up there. I got you a poet as well. But those are some newer poets that I don't know. And so that's the other important part of this, is that it's bringing, you know, we're well into the 21st century now. So who are the new writers? Who are the new, in all of the different genres? And for me, in the different areas, rather, for me, it's literature. So there are some names on that list that I will certainly be reading and adding to. My list of things that we teach. And keep in mind also, when we're teaching, we're creating the canon. The canon's always going to shift, or maybe we can call it the tradition of African-American women writers. So it's always going to shift. There's room for more things to be brought into the so-called canon, the tradition. And that's a good thing.
And Morgan, can you highlight some of the early, we just heard about some of the more recent ones. Can you highlight some of the earlier ones on your list that stand out to you?
Oh, man, The Red Record by Ida B. Wells. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, she was publishing in 1895 and talking about lynching and other sorts of racially terroristic acts towards Black people in the South. To be able to document that and remain alive, I mean, that stood out to me. And it actually got me a little bit emotional when I saw the list, because I had never read the book. And I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of that book until someone brought it up. And it just shows me that there's always progress to be made. I also think about a lot of the, you know, other stories that I haven't read before, like Funny House of a Negro by Adrian Kennedy.
That's a play. That's a play. And it's a very abstract play.
Yeah. Yeah. A play. Or like Coming of Age in Mississippi by Ann Moody.
Right.
I mean, there's so much. And so when I saw everything, the list as a whole, but as well as with the GIFs or GIFs, whatever your pronunciation is, the art, it made me feel so full, and it made me humble, because it taught me that, yeah, I read a lot, but there's always more to read about those who came before me and what that can say towards the future.
That's one of the important things, exciting things about doing this kind of archival and editorial work and bibliographic work. I was the volume editor of the Dictionary of 20th Century Culture, African American Culture volume, and it was a similar experience because I was digging. I worked in all of the areas of the arts, literature, of course, that's my specialty, but visual arts, poetry, dance. Film, and some of these things required that I learn, I study. That's why I took the project on, and it was such an eye-opener. And I want to congratulate you for doing this, but it's also just, as you say, a personally rewarding thing to be able to start digging around and thinking, oh, I never knew that. I didn't know this,
right.
and then grow with the work itself.
Right.
Talking to Sandra Adele from UW-Madison and Morgan Jerkins from the online magazine Zora. Zora put together a list of the 100 greatest works by African-American women. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there authors or works you're hoping to see on the list or wondering if they are? Are you looking for a recommendation if you like a certain type of reading? There's probably something on the list because it covers a lot of ground. What impact have some of these works by African-American women had on you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about great novels and works of nonfiction, drama, poetry, and more by African-American women. Sandra Adele is with us, the F.U. Bascom Professor in the Department of Afro-American Studies at UW-Madison, and Morgan Jerkins, Senior Editor at Zora, Medium's online space for women of color. Morgan led the team who put together the Zora Canon, a list of the 100 greatest works by African-American women. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your recommendations yourself, maybe. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Well, I'm going to reveal something about my gender preferences. The authors I've read the most on the list are Octavia Butler and N.K. Mm-hmm. Jemisin. I think if N.K. Jemisin put out, her grocery shopping list in book form, I'd probably read it. Morgan, can you talk about the importance of getting a variety of genres, even science fiction and fantasy, like I like to read?
Because to remind people that Black women write in all different types of genres, but also I wanted to speak to an industry problem. I mean, I have a lot of poet friends, and they tell me all the time, like every time there are these comprehensive lists, poetry is often in the gutter, figuratively speaking. It maybe you have one or two sprinkled in there, but that's it. So I definitely wanted to make sure that people saw that women, Black women write anthologies, poetry, plays, science fiction, children's book, all those sorts of things.
Sandra, you were nodding along
there. Yeah, she's absolutely right. Poetry and drama are the two areas in African American literary studies that it's still in its infancy in many ways. And so that was the other thing that was so exciting to me, that, yeah, she did it. She put that on there. We got plays on there. She mentioned, Morgan, Adrienne Kennedy, Funny House of a Negro. I mean, this was a major playwright of the 1960s, but we hear very little about her, but a lot about Amiri Baraka. Right? And so the things that I'm looking at on my schedule that I'm teaching, I'm starting with Frederick Douglass. I switch off between Frederick Douglass one semester and Harriet Jacobs another time. It depends. I switch these different courses. This is for an intro to Masterpieces of African American Literature. And one of the early things that I know the question's going to be asked about the first few books is where are the women, where they're coming. I've got it set up kind of chronologically, and that's another thing that's important to get this list out to people. like myself, who've been teaching for years, to kind of, again, you know, bring some variety into it. Young people like science fiction. I need to get into the science fiction more. You know, it's not my genre, but it's important to present this to them. And this is another thing. I can't keep stressing enough how important it is that this is an online list. That's where young people go. You know, to get their information and its major. Now, one thing I do want to say is that people usually ask me what is my favorite book. It's probably Song of Solomon by Toni Morrison. I've got many favorite books, but I keep going to it again and again. And this is one of those books where every time I read it, I find something new. And that's so exciting to me.
That's great. Well, do you have a favorite? I know it's hard to pick a favorite. Thank you for volunteering yours, Sandra. Morgan, do you have one that's like that that you keep going back to?
I mean, she kind of took it for me, Dr. Adele. I was going to say right. Song of Solomon, man.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I would say Beloved. I mean, there's just so many, but Song of Solomon is that that's the top, right? That's the cream of the crop.
All right. Now, Sandra, can you talk about, I know at many points in American history, that point may include today, it's harder for women sometimes to get published than men, harder for Black authors to get published than white authors. Can you talk about the challenges over the years of African-American women authors just getting their foot in the door and getting their works published?
That hasn't changed. It's very, very difficult. And I don't know how, I guess the only way to make those changes and make it easier is to get more women in those positions, editorial positions and decision-making positions in publishing. You know, it's a tricky thing, though, because, you know, most writers have difficulty getting published. But it's, you know, particularly if we're writing about ourselves in our lives, it's like, oh, no, you know, no one's interested. You know, who's going to be interested in the lives of Black women? Alice Walker proved that people are very interested in the lives mm-hmm. of Black women with the color mm-hmm. purple, mm-hmm. which now you know has been a movie and
sure.
is now a touring musical.
Uh-huh. So it did okay.
It did okay. But again, people forget about the labor that went into this. And, you know, Alice Walker was an editor for Ms. Magazine before she started publishing novels. And she was, as Morgan mentioned, she literally resurrected Zora Neale Hurston. And young people everywhere seem, especially with their eyes are watching God, they seem to be very attracted to that. So that's another thing about this list. People know the name Zora.
We heard from John in Appleton, who wants to know if there's a plan to get more African-American authored books in libraries and community read projects. Morgan, do you see that as one possible use for your Zora list that, you know, a librarian somewhere could take this and build a display or two around it?
Oh, we have some really exciting news and other developments coming soon. So stay tuned.
Okay, so that might be something, John, that actually happens in the near future. You teach classes about all these authors, Sandra. Do you see things going on in libraries and public schools? You know, beyond the bounds of a university.
I can't say much about public schools because I'm surprised. I don't know what young people are reading today. I just like, when is the last time you read a novel, period? But with what's happening in the libraries, we're very fortunate here in Madison. We've got great librarians. I mean, we can go into any of these libraries here and find books by and about African-American women. That's another thing that you pointed out, though, or was pointed out, that this list is going to be of great use to people in places like Appleton or some of these small rural communities that have small libraries and they don't have the resources to find the work, you know, that's on that list. So this is going to help them.
Morgan, do you have you mentioned there are some developments in the works for the top 100 works by African-American women. But Sandra said earlier, you know, we revisit the canon all the time. We come back. Are there plans to have more updated lists or more efforts to feature more current and contemporary authors?
I think that's something that we're definitely considering because as I noted in or the team has noted in the intro to the canon is that this is not 100% comprehensive. It's not 100% definitive. There are so many other works out there that we are discovering and rediscovering. So I think this needs to be a continuing conversation in the world of arts and letters and just in our respective communities.
And as we start to wrap up, Sandra, I think there was a time where we heard the phrase the great American novel, and it was usually by a guy, it was usually by a white guy about white people. Can you talk about the importance of considering other people as part of the American story and literature?
I think it's happening. This is one aspect. But we have to think of people of color, period, women of color, period. And it's going on. This is ongoing. Things are changing, but at the university level, the problem is what's happening in high schools or in community colleges. What are they reading? I don't know. That's the issue. And that's maybe something, I don't know if Morgan wants to take that on, but something that somebody else needs to look at. How can we change and affect the reading list of young people? By the way, one other thing to mention is that she's got stories by young adult stories on that list too. That's important.
Oh, do you want to hit us with a YA one from the list in our last few moments, Morgan?
Oh man, I'm looking at the list right now because I'm trying to remember all of them.
I saw one.
Yeah, there was one, and I'm just trying to look at it. But I've had to come back to that.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'll point people toward, if you look up Zora, that's Z-O-R-A, Canon, C-A-N-O-N, you will find that, or it's at the Zora website. You can check out the whole list there. Some great reading fun for us to look forward to. And that's all the time we have, Morgan. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And Sandra, thanks a lot for coming up today.
Thank you.
We had Sandra Adele in the studio with us, the F.U. Bascom Professor in the Department of Afro-American Studies at UW-Madison, editor of the anthology Contemporary Plays by African-American Women, 10 Complete Plays. And Morgan Jerkins was with us, senior editor of the online magazine Zora. Again, a link to that Zora canon list, by the way, you can find that at WPR.org/Central Time. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Virginia passed the Equal Rights Amendment this month, way after the deadline for constitutional ratification. We'll look at the rise and fall of the ERA and why it's in the headlines again. And we'll check out a Wisconsin project that's following the sounds of life in forests around the planet, and we'll give a listen ourselves. That and more tomorrow on Central Time.